This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Accelerate your day with today's business headlines with Volvo Cars.
And it's 8:47 a.m. on this Tuesday, July 17th. I'm Tan Cheng Han. With me, Joyce Goh and Koo Soo Chuang. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Morning Run. We're going to take you all the way up till 10 a.m. this morning. Time now to look at some developments, some key developments in the local economy, starting with the sales and service tax. So the Minister of Finance yesterday has revealed the rates for the SST. 10% for goods, 6% for services. Pretty much in line with expectations, I think, leading up to this announcement.
Yeah, so SST is expected to be passed by Parliament in August and then implemented from September 1st. And the reintroduction of SST is expected to bring a revenue of about 4 billion ringgit, which will help plug the 21 billion ringgit revenue gap left by the zero rating of GST. But still, not sure, it's 21 billion ringgit gap with this 4 billion ringgit coming on stream. They still have a lot more to plug that gap.
Yeah, I think the issue really is not the gap per se, because there's other ways of stemming that revenue shortfall. For example, GLC dividends, higher oil revenues, of course, cost procurement cuts, etc. The one that's perhaps more germane is the longer term, because 4 billion ringgit over the last 4 months is essentially 1 billion ringgit a month, right? Mm-hmm. 10 plus 6, 16% sales and service tax is essentially status quo from last time. And we know from 2013 numbers before GST, those are the kind of income levels that are being drawn in by SST at that time, right? Something at 28 billion or something. Not a lot. It's about between 1 and 2 billion a month. So the whole issue is how wide the whole tax base will be once the SST. It's all about the list, right?
Correct.
It's about how narrow or how wide it is.
That's right. So economists and tax people who we spoke to yesterday, they're saying that it depends on the SST list. One said that, they're guessing that also producers might pass on that cost to consumers because they can't claim input tax credit like they could during the GST regime, right? So that's one thing to watch out for. They're saying also it's an opportunity to profiteer. So the new government has to make sure that, this SST, the revamped SST coming on stream, it does not result in higher prices or else it might backfire, because that was currently their plan, right? Get rid of GST.
To alleviate the cost of living, right? So in other words, we are in this tax holiday right now. Based on where prices are currently, expect a bump come September 1st. Again, it depends on the actual list. Now, from the fiscal perspective, though, I think the point of contention here is this, because so often in the lead-up, especially to GE14, we heard from Pakatan Harapan leaders that they were confident they could do more with less. Now, what we're seeing right now over the last couple of months is that it appears they're doing less with less. So
I don't agree. I think for sure there's fewer ministers right now. They are operating on lower salaries. They're trying to cut projects in the interest of efficiency, not because the country doesn't need it. For example, they're postponing or deferring projects which are necessary down the line. But they've got to come to some kind of like fiscal rationalization, because there's a lot of stuff that the country has agreed to which it can't afford.
Yeah, sure, I agree. So, but isn't that less with less? They're not doing more, they're doing less.
Well, I think Malaysia used to have how many, 30 ministries or something, 40 ministries,
right,
or something. Now, so far, we've got about 20, 25, was it 30 ministries? I can't remember, right? Because it's still it's an ongoing process.
Mm-hmm.
So Malaysia's trying to do what it can with fewer ministers and fewer ministries, but it's still doing the same job, which is administering the country.
So to be more efficient, in
yeah,
other words.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And I also think that it's still early days, as you mentioned, Han. So we have to wait it out to see what's going to come out from all these cuts, the projects, how that's going to... How that's going to roll over and how that's going to translate into the economy, whether these cost savings will help. Actually, they might. So we don't know yet. It's still early days, and what are they going to do with this SST as well? Everyone's waiting for the list. What's on the list? Is it going to be a larger list? So we have to wait for that.
Yeah. Another date we're going to look forward to will be November 2nd, because that's when the 2019 budget will be tabled. And also, I believe the midterm review for the 11th Malaysia plan, that is set to be rolled out about the same time as well. Now, we have heard from the Ministry of Economic Affairs that the review, that midterm review of the 11th Malaysia plan is aimed at restoring investor confidence, because let's face it, it has taken a hit, at least judging by capital markets, although there have been some optimistic overtures by some investors saying, look, we are confident about the long-term prospects now that Pakatan Harapan is in power, but the details are still lacking. So hopefully those details will be very evident come November 2nd or thereabout.
Well, there's no question we're in a policy vacuum right now, but it's just been 2 and a bit months since the elections,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and also what's happening in the capital markets is also external factors, I guess. What's happening with the whole ASEAN, I mean, our region, it's been hit, right, in a way. So there's just a confluence of factors that are impacting the markets, be it the KLCI, be it the ringgit. Yeah, a number of factors looking at that. Also, the finance minister yesterday talked about taxes, SST aside, on IRB, and he was saying that, you know, there'll be the challenging days of a rough house tactics, this is in quotes, are over.
Oh, yeah. He spoke about LHDN officers, I think, who were rocking up to offices with guns and whatnot.
Well, is that like for real? Because you're saying that the rough tactics, are the days, in quotes, the days of office raids with guns are over.
Right. Well, so hopefully then, you know, those in the business sector will actually, you know, roll over and actually pay their taxes diligently and not, well, you know, at least in support of the Pakatan Harapan. Well, at least, you know, well, we have seen Tabung Harapan, you know, raise, I think, 150 million. So, you know, hopefully that kind of good spirit will continue and spill over into the business sector as well. Pay your taxes, people. All right, but speaking about reviews and you know, for these mega infrastructure projects, now, to be fair, the government has said that they could have afforded it if it wasn't for, you know, these scandals like 1MDB, you know, and possibly Pembina and PFI as well. I think the Edge Weekly focused on the investigation there, wondering what could come out from that 50 billion ringgit Pembina and PFI. Now, there is that side of the story. The other side of the story that I've been hearing as well is this. Well, this is really a dilemma that Pakatan really have gotten themselves into. They dug this own hole because they chose to cut GST and so curtail the income that's coming into the government coffers. That's why they're unable to spend as much, you know, especially on these infrastructure projects. We'll kind of see, you know, how this all pans out. But we do know that the Ministry of Economic Affairs, YB Azmin Ali, is set to make contact with his Singaporean counterpart soon, right?
Yeah, I think some official communication to the Singapore government over the high-speed railway will be expected by the end of this month. And everybody, you know, both sides of the causeway, very much looking forward to this development because, I mean, make no mistake, from a development perspective, you know, the high-speed rail is going to be very good news. It was just the fact, the manner, the shape and the cost at which it was proposed set a lot of eyebrows, you know, waving, right, essentially. I don't know how much work has been done on Tanjung Pagar in Singapore and how much work has been done in terms of breaking ground for the railways. But it would have brought the two countries there and, in fact, definitely narrowed the asset price gap between the two countries.
Yeah, in an interview with Singapore Straits Times, I think Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng said last week that, you know, Malaysia had received offers to half the cost of building the HSR project, and there is a possibility that the government may resume the plan. So I think the initial plan was 110 billion ringgit, that's the cost, that could be halved.
Right. And speaking about bringing those two countries together, there's this short report in Bloomberg today talking about how Malaysia is getting closer to regaining its lead over Singapore's economy. We're talking about the size of the economy here. Okay, so Malaysia used to be bigger than Singapore up until about 2014 or so. And then, of course, we saw oil prices just plunge, you know, and so we were smaller than Singapore. Now, the gap between Singapore's GDP and Malaysia's GDP as of last year in US dollar terms is about 9.4 billion US dollars. That gap is set to narrow to about 2 billion US dollars by next year. That's if all forecasts for Malaysia's economic growth comes to fruition for the end of this year.
Wow.
So the idea is that hopefully with these forward-looking policies, midterm review of Level Malaysia Plan, what have you, right?
The cuts.
This will, well, I don't know about cuts because you've got to spend to grow the economy. But so hopefully that will take us over the line and have us regain our lead over Singapore's economy.
Yeah, maybe cut the investments there, just you're paying too much for for, and then you move that money to something else.
Well, it seems just almost criminal that a country the sort of fraction the size. I mean, Singapore's a pimple compared to Malaysia, right?
Yeah. So Singapore's a pimple on Malaysia's the back.
it is big toe. It seems almost criminal that a country that size, with a population that size, about a tenth of what Malaysia's population is, can outgrow and outproduce Malaysia. You know, it has to be a question because Singapore is much more efficient than Malaysia. Mm. If we get more efficient, who knows?
Yeah, speaking about efficiencies, so we have had the news. I think this is featured on the front page of today's Edge Financial Daily, whereby a panel is being set up by the cabinet to investigate suspicious cases of asset procurement, abuses of power, and wastage of federal funds in the Ministry of Defence. Now, you know, to be fair, again, you know, look, full credit to the Pakatan Harapan government in terms of rolling out the reform agenda, at least by the will that's evidenced, the initial moves, you know, making MACs independent, you know, and setting up these panels to investigate past grievances. So full credit on that front.
Yeah, so this committee will report directly to Prime Minister, but carries no powers of enforcement prosecution. I think the powers are wide-ranging and not limited to the Defence Ministry and will be dependent on information received. I think some of the projects they're looking at is the Scorpene submarine deal, the privatisation of 40,000 hectares of MINDEF land to three parties for development, and also the missing fighter jet engines.
And that's all the ones that we just know about. What about the ones we don't know
exactly.
about, right? I mean, this is ridiculous. We're buying submarines that don't submerge. We're buying radar surveillance equipment that misses the mark by a few kilometres. We lose jet engines. I mean, come on, right? How big are the holes in MINDEF?
Right. And just to give you some perspective there, the Defence Ministry, now this is according to the previous iteration of Budget 2018. So the Defence Ministry is the third largest ministry in terms of allocation under Budget 2018. Biggest, of course, being the Education Ministry, over 60 billion ringgit. Defence comes in at just under 24 billion ringgit. So could there be more fat being trimmed there and holes being plugged?
Hey, let's play a game.
Okay.
Who's the minister in charge when all these things happen? Give me one guess. Just one guess.
His house was on Jalan Langgar Dua or something?
Duta.
Yeah. Duta, one, yeah.
Yeah, his surname, it starts with R.
NR. All right. Well, this is BFM. Those are our initials. And it's coming up to the 9 a.m. news bulletin. And after that, we'll take a look at the local boards. So stay tuned right here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Fuel your business drive with the Volvo S90 T8 twin engine. So cost efficient, it makes good business sense. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.